Ask you to find your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. You know what, Randy? I may not preach this morning. I'm just not prepared. I'm not ready. I may just call an invitation, and let's just dismiss. What do you think? You're right. You know, sometimes we are ready to go and ready to serve. And sometimes we want to pawn it off. Put it on someone else. We lack motivation. By the way, I asked Randy to say that this morning. It was kind of ad-lib. We wanted him to focus on how, yes, I am First Baptist Church Union Grove's pastor. But more importantly than that, I am called. Just like each and every one of you here in this room this morning, if you have surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have no excuse to be obedient to what God has called for you to do. And if you're not doing what God has called you to do, the place that He has placed you, and if you're a member of First Baptist Church Union Grove, staff Union Grove, whatever the case may be, you have a calling. Do our job and do it well. Otherwise, we're missing the mark. We're missing what God has called for us to do. We're missing what God has instructed for us to do. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. I want to ask you if you will stand and honor in God's word this morning. As we talk about this morning, I want to ask you the question, what drives your life? What drives your life? And I'm going to follow up with the question, what or why should I know my purpose in life? Why should I know my purpose in life? Philippians 3, 10 through 14. They read like this. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of everything, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, hide me behind the cross. Father, you know how I have struggled with this message all week. And Father, I have struggled with this message this morning. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen and heard. Father, speak to us what you'd have us to hear. May your name be honored and glorified, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone is driven by something. Right now, you may be driven by all types of things. You may be driven by a problem. You may be driven by a pressure. You may be driven by a deadline. Having worked in the secular workforce for 23 plus years as a machinist, I know what a deadline is. You always had a hot job that you had to get out, something that had to be accomplished. Good enough was never good enough, you might say. But this morning, as we go through the message, it may sound like I'm saying that, but Jesus will always say He knows that you are not good enough, but He is. And that we have been called called to be obedient to Him. You may be driven this morning by a painful memory. You may be driven this morning by a haunting fear that really grabs your attention. There are many circumstances and values and emotions that can drive your life in a positive or in a negative way. You hear that? Things drive our life, and it's always positive or negative. Positive or negative. To Christ or away from Him. For Christ or against Him. What is driving you this morning? Whether you're driving a car, a nail, or a golf ball, when you take aim or when you hit or when you participate, you at that very moment are trying to guide it to a place that you want it to go. If you're driving a nail, you want it to cinch up a piece of wood and you want it to hold it together. If you're driving a car, you want to get from point A to point B. If you're driving a golf ball, your goal is to get it in a hole and at least not a stroke. So there's our grace. In life, we have all these things that we are driving it doing. And we need to ask ourselves the question, what drives me? What drives my life? The most important thing we can learn from this statement is that we need practice. When we talk about a car or a nail or a golf ball, we don't just wake up and we've got it. Like many of you, my grandparents on my mother's side had a farm, and I was driving a car, close your ears, people, well before I was 12 years old, on the road, in the pasture, practicing, doing all types of things in vehicles maybe that we shouldn't do, Randy. Even as a little kid, making mistakes, letting things get out of control. Did it stop when I got older? Well, maybe not. That's a matter of opinion. But anyhow, we practiced at it to get better. Why is it in life and following Jesus we neglect to practice? You say, well, what do you mean, practice? Get in God's Word and let it invest in you. Be obedient to what God has called for you to do. And allow yourself to be moldable and usable for Him. Allow yourself to be exactly what He's called for you to be instead of just allowing life to pass you by and just doing what you can at the given moment and never preparing for what's right in front of you. If I had really not come in here, if I did on a regular basis and not prepared a message for this morning, I would hope the church wouldn't keep me here long, because I'm not doing what God's called for me to do and what He's called you to equip me to do, to prepare me to do. As your pastor, I have responsibilities. So does everyone else. We all have responsibilities. But what drives us? What brings us to the point? So the question now becomes, do you use your talents, your gifts, to fulfill God's purpose in your life? Do you use what God has equipped you to do to fulfill the plan that He has for your life, the goals that He has set for your life, where He has written about what you're called to do, where He has given you the tools to accomplish it? You see, I shared with you a moment ago how I was a machinist, and I wrote programs, and I set up machines, and one thing that my employer told me time and time again, you never set up someone else to fail. You always set them up for success. God sets us up for success. That does not mean obstacles will not come along, because they will. In fact, He says, if you love me, they will persecute you because they persecute me. But as your pastor, I'm called to set you up for success through Jesus Christ, not Greg. I'm just to deliver a message that God has called for me to share with you and to get you motivated to be in service to God, to be obedient to what He's called for you to do and what He's called for you to accomplish. Again, ask yourself the question, what drives my life? Why should I know the purpose in life? knowing all this, what is driving your life? I want to ask you again. Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it love? Is it remorse? Is it ambition? Is it a desire to please? Is it accumulation of possessions? Is it Jesus? What purpose is in your life? What is driving your life? With a God-given purpose to shape our life, we can accomplish much, because little is much when God is in it. But without a purpose, without a God-given purpose to shape our life, we become driven by destructive influences, never leading people to where they need to go, never pointing people to who they need to go to, never fulfilling what God's instructions for our life, the plan for our life, that we've been instructed to follow. Some people, we're going to recap, some people are driven by guilt and fear. Many people are unable or unwilling to forget, are unable to hide from their past. Let me tell you something. 100% of the people have a past. No one is perfect. No one is immune. No one is perfect. Guilt and fear can overwhelm us. The Apostle Paul, previously in this chapter, in chapter 3, verse 6a, it says, regarding zeal, persecuting the church. Paul had a past. He persecuted the church. He supervised arrests. He oversaw people being punished. He oversaw persecution. He gave the go-ahead for lives to be taken. Paul had a past, just like each one of us. And he had reason to look back to his past and allow his past to influence him, have this fear to overwhelm him of what he might, mistakes he might make, the guilt and fear that he had. But God said, let go and let me. Let me accomplish through you the things I have in plan. Let me share with you this. We may be products of our past, but we do not have to be prisoners of it. Let me state that again. We may be products of our past, but we do not have to be prisoners of it. God's purpose is not limited by our past. His purpose is not neutralized by the mess that we've made in our lives. Do not allow guilt to prevent you from fulfilling your purpose. Move forward in being obedient to what God has called for you to do. One step, one day at a time, one breath at a time. Allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be just that. King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Secondly, we looked at some people are driven by anger and resentment. Anger and resentment. Holding on to hurt is destructive. Holding on to hurt is destructive. If we do not forgive and forget, we will remember and resent. You hear that? If we do not forgive and forget, we will remember and resent. Resentment-driven people either clam up and internalize things, or they blow up and the fallout is obvious. We've all been there. In our anger, in our frustration, in our resentment, we've either clammed up or blown up. No one is immune from it. But how we react through the process after we get past that situation, that's what is revealed. Anger always hurts. But listen to this. Those who have hurt you in the past cannot continue to hurt you unless you allow them to. You are the one that gives them the strength to continue to hurt you. Bible shares that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, if we do not forgive, God will not forgive. So I think it's time for all of us, 100% of us, to move past not to be driven by anger and resentment, and move closer to that forgiveness, which is the purpose of the cross. This is what Paul is revealing here in our scriptures as we get closer to where we're going to be this morning. He's revealing that he had a purpose in life. He had a past. He He had things in his life that he regretted. He had things that God had saved him from. You see, salvation because of the cross happened to Paul. He had been given freedom. Do not allow anger or resentment to prevent you from fulfilling your purpose. Why do I say all that? I watched a television show. Many of you may know it. It's called Happy Days. And the story is about Fonzie and this, for some reason I had Happy Days on my mind really recently, brother. Fonzie and Tom Hanks plays this karate guy. It's an older show, you know. Well, Tom Hanks comes in there and he knows karate, and it's 20 years later and he's mad at Fonzie because of what Fonzie did to him when he was 8 years old. He's just frustrated. He'd gotten good at karate. Boy, he was just, I would show you, but I don't want to show out. He did all types of things, and he kicked Fonzie, and it knocked him down. Fonzie gets up. You know how Fonzie's always cool. Hey. But you know what grabbed my attention in that when Fonzie said something? Tom Hanks, the character, he said, I've been thinking about this for 20 years, ready to get this moment. You know what Fonzie said? I don't remember it. I don't remember it. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I don't remember it. Too often we allow anger and resentment to dictate our thoughts and feelings. We get so frustrated and so caught up in this junk that we allow ourselves to be affected by stuff instead of being given freedom that's offered through Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed upon the cross. And the victory we have through the death, burial, and resurrection. Don't allow that to overwhelm you. Don't keep thinking people are talking about you. Love Jesus and don't worry about anybody else except for saying, Jesus loves you too. Jesus loves you too. If we would move past our anger and resentment, we might be able to accomplish a little bit more for Jesus. Because when we allow this stuff to hold us back and set us down, that's exactly what Satan wants us to do, to be held back instead of be given freedom to proclaim victory who Jesus is. What drives you? Which method are you being driven by? Some people are driven by wealth and materialism, the desire to acquire. Can so easily become a consuming passion. The drive to want more comes from the mistake of belief that more makes me happy. More is important. More is something that gives me security. Let me tell you something. Paul stated in Philippians chapter 4, I've learned to have little, I've learned to have much. But through it all, whether it's little or much, I've learned to be content in one thing, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Too often we're guilty of looking to things and stuff and filling our lives with it, thinking the more makes me better. There's only one thing you need more of. His name is Jesus. Are you following in that path? See, real security can only be found through that relationship, fellowship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The best this world could offer is rubbish compared to knowing Jesus and following Him. So do not allow wealth and materialism to prevent you from fulfilling your purpose. So in your fill in the blanks that are in the bulletin, number one, why should I know my purpose for life? Purpose gives meaning. Purpose gives meaning. Humans were made to have meaning. Without God, life has no purpose. Without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance. Without significance, we have no hope. And it's not about our stuff. It's about Jesus. Who He is in our life. And we'll give you an answer that answers the whole message. What is the purpose to our life? His name is Jesus. He is the purpose. He He is the reason. He is the direction. He is the meaning. Ask yourself the question, am I following Jesus? It's yes or no. Bible shares, if you're straddling the fence, he will spew you out of his mouth. Vomit you out of his mouth. So don't allow yourself to get caught up with not being prepared and not being ready for what God has for you and called for you to do and accomplish. That's just an excuse. True, that it is. If Greg wants to do that, you know what that is? It's laziness. It's not a recognition of who Jesus is in my life. Who Jesus wants to be in my life. Does that mean I'm perfect? Absolutely. Greg Nall is a sinner saved by grace. Praise the Lord for that. I fail daily. I will let you down. But Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. Never leave you or forsake you. No one is perfect. But we shouldn't set out to miss the mark. That's when it becomes sin. When we set out to miss the mark. To miss the call. To miss what God's called for us to do. God gives us meaning. You see, too often we feel like the greatest tragedy is death. Let me share something with you. The greatest tragedy is not death. The greatest tragedy is to live life without purpose and meaning. To live life without Jesus being Lord of your life. To fumble and mumble our way through life just haphazardly. Not giving it all to who Jesus is and what he's called for us to do. Because we have people in our lives, in our workplaces, or wherever we may be, at church, whether it's in a Sunday school class, wherever that place may be, that God has called for us to be investing in. And if we're not doing it, guess what? Satan's investing. Satan's deceiving. So I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you're not being what God's called for you to be, you're missing the meaning in your life. The purpose, you're not receiving the meaning. You think something's going on. Look to Jesus and ask him, what next? What steps do you want me to take? You see, the initiative comes from God. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. There's people in our world that don't have a hope. But church, when we surrender to Jesus, we have hope to give. His name is Jesus. And if we're not doing that, we're missing that mark. We're not doing what we're called to do. Let me tell you something. We're living in sin. And that's not where God wants us to be. That's not where he calls for us to follow. God is the initiative. Often, here's the opposite side of the spectrum. Oftentimes, here's what can happen too. We're involved in too many things. Too many things can be a distraction. Just as much as not doing what God's called you to do. No athlete succeeds by doing everything. Let me ask you a question. Does a running back block for himself? Does a receiver throw himself the ball? Not since in junior high when he said threw himself the ball and said touchdown. Takes a team. Church, do you know where we are? A team. We work together. Paige reminds me time and time again, Greg, you cannot do everything. That's hard to do sometimes. And there's so much to be done. And like I shared already, Greg fails miserably. But let me share with you this statement. If we cannot get done in a day's time what God wants for us to do, then our plate is too full and we're not doing what God wants us to do. Because God sets us up for success, like I shared with you at the beginning. If God has it for us to do, for us to accomplish in that day's amount of time, it will be done. Too often, Greg included, We're guilty of filling our plates with stuff. I don't lie. Maybe we want recognition. Maybe we think we can do it by ourselves. Either way, we're wrong. Raising children takes a village. You've heard that. Making disciples takes a village. Growing a church takes a village. Unless God builds a church, you build in vain. But it still takes people to fill the church and to do the things that God's called for us to do, to be plugged in and to be exactly what God's called for us to be. Our purpose gives us meaning. You see, life can become so cluttered with our choices. Not knowing our purpose can lead to overwork and stress and fatigue and tension. On the other hand, knowing our purpose leads to a simpler life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. Purpose gives us meaning. Purpose gives us meaning. Number two in your fill in the blank. Why should I know my purpose in life? Purpose gives focus. Purpose gives focus. When we understand our meaning and begin to focus, we realize a biblical truth from Paul's statement in verse 10. To know Christ is to know Him in a life-changing, life-altering, and a life-shaping way. That's exactly what Paul wanted us to understand in Philippians chapter 3. To know Christ in a life-changing, a life-altering, in a life-shaping way. Paul understood that he was a work in progress, but he also knew he had a task that God wanted for him to accomplish. In Acts chapter 9, when Ananias is saying, this is Paul, he's done all this against the church, God, is this really what you want me to do? Anoint him to go to the Gentiles, and God said to him, Ananias, I have to reveal to him how much he's going to suffer for my name. I have a task for him to accomplish, a people for him to reach. You're no different from Paul. We consider Paul one of the greatest missionaries that ever been, wrote most of the New Testament. But you're no different from him. Your testimony is no different from him. You once were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And Jesus redeemed you, forgave you, restored you, established you to accomplish a task for Him. In life, we get this rut and we lose focus. Paul very easily could have looked back at his shortcomings and his mistakes and allowed it to be a distraction. But Philippians 3:13 shares with us, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I set out for the prize. Paul is describing the athlete reaching out and stretching out, straining every muscle as he strives to reach the finish line. He brings to mind the striking image of a runner. When you're in the middle of a race, it's not recommended to look back. Because if you're running and your eye's not on the goal, the finish line, you look back, you see someone else coming, your confidence goes. You look back, you trip and stumble on something that's in front of you. You look back, you allow yourself to be distracted from what God wants you to be, wants you to accomplish. Keep running with your eye on Jesus. Keep focusing where He's called for you to go, what He's called for you to do, what He wants for you to accomplish. Too often we're guilty of allowing ourselves to look back. What's someone else doing? You know what happens when we do that? We get frustrated because someone else is being successful. Praise the Lord, if you're being successful for Jesus, we should be celebrating. But let's celebrate it when we cross the finish line. Let's look ahead towards the prize and keep our eyes upon Jesus. And let's follow after him. Let's be and do what he's called for us to be and to do. Be focused. Why do you say all that? If we're called to remain focused, it is impossible to be focused on what's ahead of you and turn your head. Impossible. You can't allow yourself to be distracted to what God has called for you to do, whatever that may be. So ask yourself the question this morning. My focus is to be blank. Fill in the blank. You know what it is. Am I focused on that? Am I with an eye on the prize? Or am I looking back? Am I seeing what someone or something else is doing? Am I doing something with someone or someone something else? Instead of being and doing what God has called for me to be and to do, am I missing my purpose? Because I filled it with other stuff. That does not mean we don't have a team aspect. But that means God has called each one of us as individuals to be an important part of the body. Not everyone is the hand, not everyone is the foot, not everyone is the pinky toe, but someone is. Whatever part of the body you are, do that job and do it well. Keep your eyes upon the prize. Keep your eyes focused. Focus on Jesus and his love. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So let me ask you a question. You talk the talk. Do you walk the walk? When was the last time you focused so strongly on what God wanted for you to do that you actually did it? When was the last time you focused so strongly on what God wanted and called for you to do that you missed the mark? All of us could say, I remember when on both. The big picture, if we're hitting the mark, are we continuing and pursuing? If we miss the mark, are we trying to get back on track? We can't do it, but Jesus can. So what do I mean by I actually did it? Now, I'm not going to by any means read all these, but these are just a few of the commandments that Jesus gave. Repent, Matthew 4:17. Follow him, Matthew 4:19. Let your light shine, Matthew 5:16. Are we doing those? Love and pray for your enemies. Now, that's a tough one, Matthew 5:44-46. Seek God's kingdom first, Matthew 6:33, we just read. Don't give what is holy to dogs, Matthew 7:6. Treat people the way you want to be treated, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Beware of false prophets. God said Satan is crouching at our door. Ask God to send out workers. When's the last time we prayed for God to send out workers at First Baptist Union Grove? Forgive 70 times 7. You mean I have to forgive that much 490 times? No, I mean this is a continual attitude and a heart of forgiveness. Bible shares, if we don't forgive, we'll not be forgiven. Love your neighbor, Matthew 22:39. Make disciples, Matthew 28:19-20. Preach the gospel. Yes, that's everyone. Mark 16:15. Be on guard against greed, Luke 12:15. Love one another, John 13:34. Are we doing these things? Are we allowing ourselves to be deceived and distracted in different directions and different capacities? How do I keep focused with all this stuff going on in my head? How do I keep focused and go for the plan that God has for me? Here's the first step. Write it down. Don't miss it. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Step number one. Take delight in the Lord. When's the last time you got happy about who Jesus is in your life? I got pretty excited when the Short family was singing. But it shouldn't take a song for us to be sparked. It should be what Jesus has done in our lives for us to be overwhelmingly joyful. overwhelmingly joyful? Are you overwhelmingly joyful? Seek God first. Remember that 6:33 from Matthew? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You will never be focused and find a purpose for your life until you place God first in your life. Does God drive you? Does he grip you? Is he your focus? Does he motivate you? Number three, in the fill in the blank, why should I know my purpose in life? Purpose gives motivation. Purpose gives motivation. Philippians 3:14. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. What motivates us? You know what often motivates us? The end result. I can gain this. I can accomplish that. At first glance, you might think, well, that was Paul's goal, eternity in heaven. But when you look at it closer, we see that the motivation is Jesus himself and the calling that Jesus gave. Listen to it again. Philippians 3:4, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. His goal wasn't the eternity, it was Jesus. It was the call in Jesus. That was his motivation. If anything else is our motivation this morning, we're missing the mark. We're missing the point. How do I know this? Because Jesus reassured us that the focus is him in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Listen to it this morning. He goes to the church, he goes to John and tells to write to the church of Ephesus, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, that you cannot tolerate evil. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. You have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name and not grown weary. Sounds good so far. Verse 4, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. You're doing all these things, and you're missing me, is what Jesus is saying. You've abandoned Jesus. You're doing all these things and getting yourself into a rut, and you've abandoned Jesus. You've lost your focus. You've lost your motivation. You've missed your purpose. If Jesus is not the reason, then you've missed your purpose. Verse 5, remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 shares with us that we'll all be tempted. But in that temptation, he will always provide a way of escape. Always. That's a promise. This morning, as we get ready for a song of invitation here in just a moment, nothing energizes us more than a clear purpose. On the other hand, when you lack purpose, passion goes away. So make sure you find your purpose. And remember, there's others who have gone on before you who've lived lives in front of you. It may be your relative. It may be a friend, a companion. Or it may be Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When he looks back and reflects upon Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So let me close with these questions. Who do you say Jesus is? Do you show it? Are you living the purpose that God has for you in your life? Answer is yes or no. There's no straddling the fence. It's yes or no. But there's hope. Because Jesus has his hand extended. And he's calling out to you and saying, come home. Give me your burdens. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me give you rest. Find your rest in Jesus. Find your hope in Jesus. If you're here this morning and that's you, you've been a Christian for a long time, and you've kind of found yourself in this rut, and you're living a life that feels like no purpose, and you're just grasping at straws, Jesus says, come home. Or maybe you're here this morning, you've not surrendered to Christ as Savior, but you want to. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes in the righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made of salvation. It's a gift that is freely given. It's yours for the taking. If you say no, there's a day coming, he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. But if you say, yes, I believe and I receive, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. It's yours. There for the taking. Won't you come? Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing. Hymn number. ask Miss Wendy if she will come join me, and Brandon as well. First of all, certificate of baptism. This certifies that Wendy Jean King was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit on the 13th day of January 2019 at First Baptist Church, Union Grove. God bless you. A few weeks ago, this couple came and talked to us, and they decided they wanted to join the church. And Wendy wanted to join through baptism, and Brandon wanted to join by transferring a letter from Shady Grove Baptist Church in Collinsville. What do I hear from the church? All those in favor, stand to your feet. All those opposed can see me after church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Any word before we dismiss? Amen. Amen. Any other word? Choir rehearsal tonight. Be ready to sing. Be ready. Brother Roger Smith, would you dismiss his word of prayer?